Welcome back. We're diving into the world of wearable sensors today, looking at how to make this technology work for everyone.
We're examining a research paper, Experimental Evaluation of Variations in Primary Features, used for accelerometric context recognition. It's from 2003, by Heinz et al. Even though it's from 2003, the challenges they faced are still relevant now.
This paper explores those early attempts to make devices understand what we're doing, just from how we move. Imagine your phone knowing you're climbing stairs. Just by analyzing the motion in your pocket, that's the future this research was aiming for.
It does seem straightforward, right? Our bodies produce a lot of data through movement. But the difficulty is, how do we turn that raw data into something meaningful? And how do we do it in a way that applies to everyone, not just in a controlled lab?
That's what the researchers call the generalization challenge. It's one thing to train a sensor system on specific walking patterns. It's another thing entirely to make it recognize different walking styles, speed, strides. That's a significant challenge.
For instance, you might train a system to recognize someone walking up a particular set of stairs. But what happens when they encounter a different staircase? Everyone moves a little differently, environments change, and even things like the clothes we wear or the surfaces we walk on can affect those sensor readings.
Let's break down this generalization challenge further. The researchers focused on accelerometers for this study. No gyroscopes, no heart rate monitors, just accelerometers, which measure changes in speed and direction.
Accelerometers are everywhere now. They're in smartphones, fitness trackers, all sorts of devices. They're small, relatively inexpensive, and they can pick up a surprising amount of detail about how we move.
To tackle this generalization challenge, Heinz and his team set up a very precise experiment. They had several test subjects, a planned route through a university building, and they even paid close attention to how they attached those sensors to ensure accuracy.
They even documented the types of shoes the subjects were wearing. And remember, this was back in 2003. So they used what they described as strong plaster tape to keep those sensors in place. All of that meticulousness really shows how dedicated they were to this research.
And it wasn't just about collecting data. It was about understanding the people behind the data. They went beyond just recording movements. They gathered information about each volunteer, their age, height, weight, even how often they exercised.
This highlights something crucial. Context is personal. The way we move is influenced by so many factors. Our build, our habits, everything. To build technology that truly understands our context, we have to factor in those individual characteristics.
So we've got our sensors, our meticulously planned experiment, our diverse group of volunteers, and they're ready to begin their data gathering mission. Where exactly were they going and what were they doing?
They were at Leibniz Hall at the International University in Germany. They were engaging in a highly structured sequence of actions designed to capture a range of everyday movements.
Can you tell us more about what this routine involved?
It started with a simple walking sequence across a flat surface. Then the tasks got progressively harder. For instance, they had to open doors, navigate turns, and even go up and down staircases.
Staircases.
Yes, and not just going up and down one flight of stairs. They had participants go up and down multiple flights, even changing directions midway. This wasn't just a casual stroll through a building. It was a very deliberate process to collect data.
And all the while, those trusty accelerometers were diligently capturing every single movement, every subtle shift. It really makes you think about the sheer amount of data our bodies generate as we go about our day.
More importantly, it highlights just how much potential that data holds. If we can learn to decode it, imagine the possibilities for things like personalized technology, healthcare, even our understanding of human behavior.
It's pretty incredible when you think about it. This work began over 2 decades ago, and we're still seeing its impact today.
It really speaks to the power of fundamental research, right? It lays the groundwork for future innovations, even things that were unimaginable to the original researchers.
We've laid the groundwork. Now we understand the experiment, the participants. Now let's look at the data itself. What were those accelerometers actually measuring from all of that carefully orchestrated movement? That's what we'll explore next. We left off with those volunteers meticulously moving through a university building, their every move captured by these sensors. Let's talk about the data itself. What exactly were they measuring from all of that carefully planned movement?
This is where we move from the physical experiment to data analysis. The researchers were interested in extracting specific features from those raw accelerometer readings. You can think of these features as numerical representations of key movement characteristics.
So they weren't just looking at the raw numbers. They were trying to find patterns, extract useful information from them. Can you give us an idea of what kinds of features they were working with?
They concentrated on three main features that are often used in this type of analysis. Root means square, RMS, cumulative sum, and variance.
Could you break those down for us a bit further?
Certainly. RMS, or root mean square, basically gives you a measure of the average power of a signal. In this case, that signal is the accelerometer readings. Think of it as a way to quantify the intensity of the movement. Higher RMS values usually mean more vigorous movement.
So, for example, running would have a higher RMS than walking.
Exactly. Then we have the cumulative sum, which, as the name suggests, involves adding up those accelerometer readings over a certain period. This feature helps capture the overall change in velocity or displacement over time.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, RMS tells us about the intensity of the movement, and the cumulative sum tells us about the overall change in movement over time. What about that third feature, variance?
Variance measures how much a signal fluctuates or spreads out. It's a way to quantify how variable or inconsistent a movement pattern is.
So someone with a very steady, rhythmic walk would have lower variance than someone whose walk is more irregular.
Precisely. Now, going into this, you might assume that something as basic as walking would produce relatively similar readings across different people.
That makes sense. Walking is something we all do.
Right. But what they found was actually a surprising amount of variability, especially in that variance feature. Even with their fairly small sample size of 7 test subjects, they saw that people's movement patterns could differ quite a bit.
So even something as simple as walking has a unique signature, a kind of movement fingerprint that's specific to each person.
In a way, yes. And this variability creates a real challenge when you're trying to design person-independent context recognition systems. If everyone walks a little differently, how do you design an algorithm that can accurately recognize that activity regardless of who's doing it?
Especially if the goal is to get to that ideal of a universal system.
Yeah.
One that just works for anyone, anywhere, without needing to be calibrated to each individual.
Exactly. And remember, we're just talking about walking here. Imagine how much more complex it gets when you start considering a wider range of activities, each with their own nuances and variations.
Did any of the data stand out as particularly unusual? Were there any participants who, for lack of a better term, threw a wrench in the works?
This is where things get kind of intriguing. The paper mentions one particular test subject, they call him Subject 6, whose data was noticeably different from everyone else's.
What made Subject 6 so unique?
Unfortunately, the paper doesn't give us a definitive answer. They suggest a few possibilities: gait, clothing, even being left-handed, but ultimately it's a bit of a mystery.
So Subject 6 introduced a bit of intrigue into this meticulously planned experiment.
Yes, but you know, that outlier highlights something really important. There's always more to learn. Sometimes it's the data points that don't fit that lead us to the most interesting discoveries.
So while their quest to find those universal movement patterns hit a few bumps in the road, did the data give them any clues about how to move forward? What were their key takeaways?
Well, they've found that while recognizing all four distinct activities, walking, going downstairs, going upstairs, and brisk walking with those basic features was difficult, they had more success when they focused on just differentiating between two activities at a time.
So narrowing their focus improved their accuracy.
That's right. In particular, they found that distinguishing between brisk walking and other movements worked quite well, especially when they combined the variance and cumulative sum features.
It sounds like they were starting to make some headway in figuring out how to make this work, at least for some activities. But with a limited number of volunteers, I imagine they could only draw so many conclusions.
You're absolutely right. The study does acknowledge that limitation. 7 test subjects, even with very careful methodology, it's not really enough to make sweeping generalizations about human movement.
So more data is needed.
Always. They specifically recommend larger, more diverse data sets to really unlock the potential of person-independent context recognition.
When you say larger, you mean more participants?
More participants, a wider range of demographics, a broader spectrum of activities, even variations in the environment. That would give researchers a much richer data set to work with and could lead to more robust, generalizable algorithms.
After all, the goal is to create technology that works for everyone, not just a small group of people. What other avenues did they suggest exploring?
Well, their findings also suggested that we may need to move beyond those traditional features, the RMS, variance, and cumulative sum. While those features are useful, they may not be enough on their own to capture all the complexities of human movement, especially if we're aiming for person independence.
So what's the next step? If those basic features aren't enough, what else is there?
this is where things get even more interesting. The paper suggests looking at more sophisticated analysis techniques, things like machine learning algorithms. These algorithms are very good at detecting subtle patterns in large data sets, patterns that we might not even be able to see ourselves.
So the idea is to take all of that data, all of those subtle variations in how we move, and feed it into these powerful algorithms that can learn and adapt, and eventually figure out how to tell the difference between, say, a leisurely stroll and someone who's rushing to catch a bus no matter who's doing the walking.
Exactly, and that's what we'll be diving into in the next segment. The exciting world of machine learning and how it's shaping the future of person-independent context recognition.
We were just discussing how challenging it can be to make sense of this movement data and how machine learning might hold the key to unlocking these complex patterns.
And in the years since this 2003 paper came out, that's exactly what's happened. Machine learning has become essential for context recognition. It lets us move past those basic features and into a whole new world of possibilities.
So instead of telling the algorithm exactly what to look for, we're basically saying, here's a mountain of data, go find the patterns that matter.
Precisely. We feed these algorithms massive data sets of labeled examples, walking, running, standing, you name it. And from those examples, they learn to recognize subtle patterns, relationships within the data.
Patterns that might be so subtle, so deeply hidden in that data, that we might completely miss them.
That's right. Machine learning excels at finding those hidden relationships, those tiny variations in accelerometer readings that differentiate one person's walk from another's.
How has this machine learning revolution changed things? Have we reached that goal of person-independent context recognition yet?
We've made significant strides. If you look at smartphones and wearables today, they can recognize a wide range of activities with impressive accuracy, often without any need for individual calibration.
It really is remarkable how my phone just seems to know when I'm walking, even when I'm inside my own house.
It is important to remember that challenges still exist. Human movement is incredibly complex and variable. There are factors we haven't even touched on, such as emotional state, fatigue, even the type of surface we're walking on. All of these things can influence those sensor readings.
So even with these advanced algorithms, that truly set-it-and-forget-it solution is still out of reach.
For the time being, yes. But the beauty of machine learning is its ability to adapt. As we gather more data, especially more diverse data, these algorithms can keep learning, keep refining their models.
So maybe someday we will have that truly universal context recognition system, one that can accurately interpret anyone's movements anywhere, anytime.
It's a future worth striving for. But even as we aim for that ultimate goal, it's crucial to remember the importance of those early studies, like the one by Heinz and his team. They laid the foundation, identified the core challenges, and sparked our imagination for what might be possible.
It's often by revisiting those foundational studies, those first steps into uncharted territory, that we truly appreciate how far we've come and recognize the exciting possibilities that lie ahead.
Precisely. So as you go about your day, think about the incredible symphony of motion your body creates. Each step you take, each gesture, it's all data, waiting to be understood. And perhaps someday, that understanding will lead to a world where technology seamlessly adapts to us instead of the other way around.
A world where our devices just get us, quirks and all. Now that's a future I'm excited to see. And that concludes our deep dive for today. We'll be back next time with another fascinating look into the world of research and discovery.